this morning and share a few things with you. The title of our message today is A Hunger for God. Why fast and pray? Why fast and pray? That might be a question in some of your hearts this morning. And I thought I'd share this with you today instead of next week because I think some of you need a little bit of time to get your hearts and minds around what we're inviting you to be a part of. And quite honestly, there's a deficit of understanding of knowledge about fasting and prayer in the body of Christ. And because of that, there's a lack. The Bible says that when we lack wisdom, you know, we pay a price. Where there's not revelation, people perish. And sometimes we need a fresh revelation of why something's important and why it's important on God's heart and should be on our heart too. Literally, before the end of the year comes, I've fasted at the beginning of the year now for many, many years. I start thinking about it. I start dwelling on that. There's a sweetness that really settles in my soul that I just begin to really, really look forward to this time of fasting and prayer. And kind of hard to explain. I understand that, but I'm telling you, it's very true. Over the past maybe 15, 20 years, God's been stirring in his body, I think, a reclaiming of this discipline of fasting. And the funny thing is, you know, it's been there in the Bible all along. It's been there in black and white, right before our eyes, and even in red all along, and yet we've missed it, it seems like. In fact, for a long period of time, there was not a single book written on Christian fasting from I think the 1850s up into the later 1900s. There was not a single book written about it. And I think God wants us to reclaim this discipline of fasting because I think it's really important for what he wants to do in these days ahead. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about fasting numerous times, in fact. And it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about several different important principles of the Christian life, such as giving and praying, and we use those passages a lot to call people, you know, to pray and to give. But it's funny, we just seem to skip over the part about fasting. Why is that? Why do we skip over it? I think it largely has to do with either a lack of understanding or a misunderstanding regarding the principle of fasting. For some of us, fasting just, it almost seems as unthinkable, if you will, as shaving our heads and covering them with sackcloth and ashes. I mean, it just seems like something totally out of sync with our modern day and time, and we've lost sight of the importance of it, and I want to rekindle why it's important today. If you take a closer look at the concept of fasting, you'll find that it's not something reserved only for those who kind of dwell on the periphery of society. Fasting is something that Jesus himself did. And I believe he did it often. And his followers too were invited, especially after he left this earth, to really fast. And part of that fasting was a heartfelt desire for his return. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, Jesus uses these words, "When you fast," implying that he expects his followers will understand and practice this discipline of fasting. Well, if you're still sitting there and thinking, "I don't know, Pastor, that sounds kind of radical," let me show you another couple of places, you know, where Jesus himself again indicates fasting is something that he expects every Christian to participate in. In Matthew 9, he talks about when the bridegroom's taken away, then they'll fast. You know, if you were to do an exhaustive study of the principle of fasting as found in Scripture, this is very interesting. You'd find more references on fasting than you would on something as important as baptism. In fact, there's 77 references in Scripture to fasting and about 75 to baptism. And somehow we've lost sight of this incredibly important discipline. So this morning, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to consider fasting over these 21 days in 2015. There's a lot of purposes for fasting in Scripture. But they fall into about 10 major categories, and I want to share those 10 with you this morning and want to look at some of the background to them. First, I want to share one of my favorite quotes. It's from John Piper about fasting. He has a great book called A Hunger for God. I highly recommend. And listen to these words, because maybe this is where you find yourself this morning. And maybe even as I read these words, you'll begin to say, you know, that is where I'm at. Because sometimes we don't realize where we are. Sometimes when I go to the mall, or, you know, I went to the outlet mall a few days ago and had never been there before, I had no idea where I was at. So I had to find that map. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it has a little red X. Here's where you are. And I thought, okay, good. Now I know where I'm at. So that knowing where I'm at, I can know how to get to where I want to go. And sometimes we don't really realize where we are spiritually. We've fallen into a dullness and a stupor. And God wants to awaken something in us, a hunger for Him. Listen to these words from John Piper. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you've drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul's satisfied with small things, and there's no room for the great. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. I invite you to turn from the dulling effects of food and the dangers of idolatry and to say with some simple fast, this much, oh God, I want you. 10 reasons this morning to fast. Number one, fast to strengthen prayer. In fact, inside your bulletin this morning, if you'll turn inside there, you have these 10 listed on the back of your fasting and prayer guide. To strengthen prayer, and I wanted to give that to you so that all through this time, you could keep it in your Bible, you could keep it before you. To strengthen prayer. John Calvin said this, whenever men are to pray to God concerning any great matter, it would be expedient to appoint fasting along with prayer. Listen to what John Wesley said. John Wesley is one of my heroes of the faith. He and I share a birthday. I love John Wesley. Listen to what he has to say. Let me find the quote real quick. John Wesley fasted twice weekly until tea time in the pattern of the early church. He urged all of his followers to do the same. He said he would as soon curse and swear as to not fast. For the man that never fasts is no more in the way to heaven than the man who never prays. Fasting is and was such an important thing to the early church. Sometimes we wonder why the church of today doesn't look like the church of then. This could be one of the missing links that you and I need to recover. Fasting strengthens our prayer. As we look to 2015, we need to be a praying church and a praying people. There's something about fasting that quite honestly sharpens the edge of our intercession and gives a fresh new passion to our prayers. When Ezra was about to lead a group of exiles back to Jerusalem, he knew that the 900 plus mile journey really necessitated God's protection and guidance. So you know what he did? He called for fasting and prayer. Ezra 8:23, so we fasted and entreated our God for this. And guess what? He answered our prayer. Here's an interesting tidbit about fasting. In all of the Bible, every time God's people fast, every time God's people fast and pray, God answers except one time. Every time when people are set on seeking the heart of God, the will of God, and they fast and pray, there's a breakthrough, there's a blessing, there's an answer except one time, and that one time was when David fasted and prayed for the baby to live. Out of the adulterous affair that he'd had with Bathsheba, and the baby didn't live. Every other time, God moved and worked in that situation and circumstance. How many of you feel the passion? I just feel a passion for this morning. How many of you feel we need a fresh new move of God in our society? Amen. Fasting strengthens prayer. Nehemiah, Daniel, Joel, all of Israel, the church at Antioch, they all fasted and prayed. Number two, to seek God's guidance. It's an interesting situation over in Judges chapter 20, where 11 tribes of Israel outnumbered the Benjamites 15-1, but they kept losing. They were engaged in a battle against one another, and they kept losing. They lost twice. And it's interesting, because it wasn't until they fasted and prayed that the Lord gave them victory. In Judges 20:28, shall I yet go again out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. To seek God's guidance, to bring about the victory that God would intend. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas fasted and prayed before appointing elders. Fasting and prayer is so important. Number three, to express grief. Sometimes I watch the news, I look at the newspaper, I listen to the radio, and I become so overwhelmed with grief for where our country is. I don't know if you ever feel that with me. I walked in the other day and my wife was watching Andy Griffith with my kids. And I stopped and hesitated for a minute, and I just kind of enjoyed that moment, because that TV show represents something that I can remember in America. A time of innocence, a time of purity. I know everything wasn't perfect, but I'm telling you, my heart longs for those past days, because today it's a different world. And it's sad how it's changed so dramatically toward evil and toward, you know, you can't. I remember when I was a kid, how many of you remember, you're old enough like me to remember your mom and dad would say, go out and play. You'd jump on your bike, you'd ride several miles to the next neighborhood, you'd play until the sun went down, and then you'd make your way home. And mom and dad never worried. They never fretted. I've never done that with my kids. Never one single time, because it's a different world. You'd be considered a foolish parent to just tell your kids, go out and play. Go out there among all the abusers and all the kidnappers. And it's horrible. This morning as we were reading our Bible, Tracy and I noticed in Revelation 19, talking about the wicked woman there in Revelation 19, and how literally she had seduced the world with her adulterous spirit. I don't know about you, but I grieve sometimes for where our nation is, and I'm crying out to the Lord for revival. Fasting can be used to express grief over our condition. Number four, fasting to seek deliverance or protection. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's very interesting. Jehoshaphat, I don't know how many of you have read this story, but there's a great, vast army coming against Jehoshaphat. And quite honestly, the king is afraid. But you know what he does? He makes a wise choice. He turns to God in fasting and prayer. And God gives him that incredible direction of putting the worshipers out front. And there's a great victory that comes about because Jehoshaphat led the people to fast and pray. How about today? How about the condition that we live in, the nation that we're a part of? Maybe fasting and prayer would be a better recourse for Christians than legal actions and counter accusations and political maneuvering. Maybe we ought to really start fighting with the weapons we've been entrusted with. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the high places. And we've been given spiritual weapons. There's something about prayer with fasting that brings about a breakthrough, church. Number five, we should fast to express repentance and a return to God. One of the things this does for me every year is it recalibrates my compass. Because even though I have made a determination in my heart to be a man that pleases God and that finishes well, I can get ever so little off, of course. And you know what they tell me? If you shoot a rocket or you When NASA sends a shuttle up into the sky on a particular mission, that if that thing takes off and veers even just 1 or 2 degrees off course, by the time it gets to its destination, it's thousands of miles missing its target. It recalibrates my compass because I live in this world just like you do, and sometimes I get off a few degrees. And I need to come back to the Lord with all of my heart and seek Him with everything I have passionately. The Israelites express repentance through fasting in 1 Samuel 7, 6. And again in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, says, "Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Sometimes fasting can just be an expression of grief over our sin, and it can signal a commitment to a newfound obedience and a new direction with God. Number six, we fast to humble ourselves before God. A couple of years ago, as I was seeking the Lord about what to share at the beginning of the year, the Lord put three things on my heart, and those have not left me. Three things: accepted weakness, that you and I need to realize that without God we are weak and we can do nothing. Total surrender to God and His purposes and His plans in our lives. And then number three, profound humility, walking in humility and humbleness before God and seeking His face. Those three things I think still stand, and they're key to you and I walking out the fullness of what God has for us. Fasting, when practiced with the right motives, is a physical expression of humility before God, just as powerful as falling on your knees or on your face to pray. In Psalm 35, David humbled himself with fasting before God. It's interesting to note, even one of the most wicked kings in all of Jewish history, King Ahab, was noticed by God because he humbled himself with prayer and fasting, and God averted judgment from Ahab in that situation. Remember, fasting itself is not an expression of humility, but an expression of humility it is if it's done with the right attitude. The Pharisees, they fasted twice a week, but they were not humble before God, and therefore they lost their reward. Their reward was to be noticed by others. That's not the purpose of fasting. Number seven, we need to fast to express our concern for the work of God. Nehemiah, the great wall builder, when he heard about the condition of the wall in Jerusalem, he wept, he cried out to God, and he fasted. Daniel also fasted for the return of the Jewish exiles in Daniel chapter 9. We hear the statistics again and again that church attendance is declining in America. You and I ought to be concerned about the work of God in this nation. I've often wondered in my heart and my mind, how could Europe, which was a founding place, a center of Christianity, devolved to the place that it is today, where some of the European countries have less than 3% Christians, where some of the European countries today have more mosques than churches operating in them now. Well, I tell you what, we're on the fast track to that very condition unless you and I rise up and say, God, please send laborers. Please move and work in our midst. We're serious about the work of God. We want to see you rebuild the walls. Number eight, fast and pray to minister to the needs of others. Sometimes people think, well, fasting, that seems like a very introspective thing, but the Bible calls us to fast together. In the Old Testament, there were numerous times where the church band together and fasted together. And let me just tell you, it's a whole lot easier when you're fasting with others. We're going to open the church Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. We'll be open 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning. We're going to invite you to come before work. Come, spend some time on your knees. Spend some time in worship. Spend some time in fasting with us. through that 21 days. Saturday morning, the church will be open at 9, from 9 to 10. And then Sunday morning, I think at 9:30, my wife will be having a prayer time. I'm going to encourage you to come, to seek the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 58, what a powerful passage. I encourage you to read that passage as you begin to consider this quest of fasting. Isaiah 58 shows us it's not just an introspective discipline, but it's something that turns our hearts out toward others and the need of others. In Isaiah 58, it says, is this not the fast I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry. You bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him. When we truly fast as unto the Lord, it sensitizes our hearts to the needs of others around us. And it moves us in obedience to meet those needs. Number 9, we fast to overcome temptation and to dedicate ourselves afresh to God. Probably the most recognizable fast in Scripture is Jesus' fast in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And it's in that setting of fasting and prayer for 40 days that he encounters the enemy face to face and yet comes out unscathed, totally victorious. And in fact, at the end of the passage, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And it's the beginning of his 3.5 years of ministry that changed the world. Number 10, we fast to express love and worship to God. The Bible gives us a wonderful example of fasting as an act of sheer devotion to God. In Luke chapter 2, verse 37, there's an unforgettable woman whose entire 84 years are flashed before us in just 3 quick verses. Her name's Anna. Anna was married for only 7 years before being widowed. Assuming she married at an early age, this godly woman devoted at least half a century, night and day, to a worship of God characterized by fasting and prayer. And you know what? Her worship, her fasting culminated in the presentation of the King of Kings at the temple. Fasting can be an expression of finding your greatest pleasure and your greatest enjoyment of life in God. That's the case when you discipline yourself to fast. Literally, it's a picture, a practice of saying, God, I love you more than food, more than the very thing that anchors me to the world, that keeps my body alive. I love you more. Seeking him more important than eating itself. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, as we're focused on this new year ahead, we really want our eyes focused on you. We really want to seek after you. We want to move into this new year, Lord, with faith and with focus, in humility and weakness and surrender, but spiritually strong. Because we're sharpening our prayer and our focus with fasting. We're setting aside extra time to seek your heart, to see your kingdom come and your will be done. God, would you do great and mighty things beyond what we can even think or imagine as we as a people declare and decide together, you know what, God, you're worth more to us than anything this world has to offer. And we'll sacrifice and give up anything to draw closer to you and to see heaven come to earth. The will of God be done on earth. God, have your way. Have your way in and through us. God, this new year, give us more and more people, Lord, that will find you, more marriages that'll be healed in you, more lives that'll be delivered and freed in you. not have your way. Your kingdom come, your will be done here at New Song. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We've got some prayer cards, by the way, back there. We'll be giving them out.